The young violinist Brian Hong put out a challenge in an essay titled Freedom, Not Conformity, A Call to Young Musicians. And here are some of his concerns. Hong begins with one phrase, artistic freedom. And he continues, to many music students, the words bring forth images of a metaphorical badlands, a forbidden territory that they're afraid to explore. What's to blame for this tendency towards stagnation? In my opinion, it is because of a ubiquitous mentality that musical playing relies on the overrated concepts of conformity and imitation. One cannot deny the flood of adept, technically sound and fluent musicians that have been surfacing over the last several decades. In fact, one could very well argue on a factual basis that those said players perform at a higher technical standard than did artists of the past. However, at what cost have they achieved such prowess? What other aspects of music have been lost along the admittedly attractive path to perfection? The answer to that, my dear colleagues, is artistry. The ability and the freedom to develop one's own voice and present our own musical ideas in a unique, convincing way. Musicianship over the past years has been leaning ever more onto the crutch of technique. Many young aspiring students consider great playing to be safe and clean, sometimes imbued with what might be called an artificial sense of virtuosity. I find such colloquial playing to be rather stagnant. It is very easy to lump many modern players into the school of the soloist whom they are trying to imitate, Heifetz and Oistrakh, to name a couple. However, one must realize that those aforementioned artists became who they were not because of a mindset of imitation, but rather because of their courage to take risks in presenting ideas that had never been heard before. Much of their intrinsic ability to take risks and discover their musical identities came very early on in their careers because of the teaching style. Teachers like Auer, Cymbalist, Galamian, and Delay constantly pushed their students to discover themselves, to experiment with different ideas, to develop their own voice. Adversely, much of the teaching we see today is focused on building solid technique, which the professors of old did as well, very much so, instead of developing that one unique voice in each student. They are not mutually exclusive. Fortunately, not all instructors teach in a routine way. There are plenty of wonderful teachers who offer priceless advice and inspiration. For example, this summer I was privileged to work with a great violin teacher, Sergio Schwartz, at the Boden International Music Festival. Mr. Schwartz has an incredibly refreshing view of young musicians. He inspires the artist in every student to surface and take charge. Ironically, he goes about this in a very intellectual way. His pupils analyze the harmonic structures of each piece and letting them interpret what they believe the composer intended. He then works with the students' ideas, helping them to mold those thoughts and to present them in the most fluid, sensible way possible, all the while encouraging them to let go and let the heart take over when the time finally comes for the work to be performed. With his help this summer, my performances of Ravel's Tzigane, the Schönberg Fantasy, and the Bach Chaconne, along with numerous chamber works, were technically and musically the most successful I had ever done. The world needs more teachers who help their students discover their inner voice, their musical soul. And while there are only so many soloist slots available to these students, this should not cause a young player to refrain from exploring their ideas and presenting material in a fresh, interesting way. However, this does not mean one should play in a musical muddle, throwing out random phrases willy-nilly, just hoping to be different. In fact, it is quite the contrary. In the words of Sergio Schwartz, in-depth analysis and serious musicianship are essential to support individuality. In other words, to have the weight and authority, one must know the substance and message to be expressed. So, in conclusion, This is a message to all of my fellow students and colleagues. Analyze your music, take risks, explore different ideas, different sounds, and different facets of interpretation to ultimately construct your own unique tapestry. Too long have musicians hidden behind a curtain of technique. It is time for us, the next generation, to make our own musical mark, to turn our backs on musical conformity and imitation, and to present something intelligent, something fresh, and something exciting. Brian Hong, a young violinist who expressed his concerns here about fellow students who have stopped in their musical goals at perfecting their technique rather than solidifying their technique to go on to become real artists. Every June for over a decade, young music students have gathered at Moravian University in Bethlehem to be challenged, to be coached, to be inspired, to make the move from resting on their incredibly powerful technical abilities to, in Brian Hong's phrase, the freedom of artistry. And we might add the word to that phrase, to the freedom and responsibility of artistry. Acclaimed violinist and head of strings at Rowan University, Timothy Schwartz, is founder and artistic director of Techne Music, a highly esteemed chamber music workshop experience for talented young players. The program is grounded in a very strong vision statement, and that statement reads, "The vision of Techne Music is centered on the belief that music is essential for the growth of an individual, community, nation, and civilization. While all music is necessary for this growth process, small chamber ensembles offer unique rewards and challenges that solo and orchestral playing do not. Techne Music is a place where the highest level of students and faculty can convene for a short period to explore the medium. Its mission is to provide a tuition-free environment where the most talented musicians from around the world can congregate and work with the most sought-after faculty in the chamber music field. In addition, Techne offers concerts and career tutoring for select Techne students as they transition from students to professional musicians. Techne has assembled a roster of world-class faculty members who work with the students and perform themselves in a culminating concert at the end of the five-day intensive. We had a chance to speak by phone with Timothy Schwartz. He was in London, where he regularly teaches and performs, and with cellist Lawrence Stomberg, who has been with Techne from the very start. He is professor of cello and associate director for performance studies at the University of Delaware School of Music. We began with the name, Techne Music. Tim Schwartz.
Techne is the Greek god of artistry. So the definition, it basically says it's the artist of art, craftsmanship, and technical skill. So we kind of use that as our basis, that you're taking technique and then making art from that technique. So I think sometimes, particularly musicians who are very, very serious, you know, and really just spend hours and hours and hours practicing, we can get so caught up in the technical skill, we forget that the reason we're learning that is to make art. And so I think that was, when we first started 13 years ago, that was something we were trying to really bring out, that yes, the technique obviously is really important, but it is for the higher goal of making art and artistry. So that is where we got the name from.
You know, you need to learn your letters and then how to spell words and then put them together into sentences and paragraphs before you become an effective writer or speaker. And it's very, very much a similar thing for anybody playing a musical instrument.
You all are teachers, and so you do. You teach bow strokes, and you teach young musicians how not to hurt themselves when they're playing so feverishly and so on. But what about teaching artistry? Have you learned more about it over 13 years? And of course, you continue to teach elsewhere. I don't mean that you aren't doing it all the time. But what are some of the key aspects of making sure that you all hear and listen to them and bring out that part of their musicality?
Yeah, it's a great question because, I mean, it is a very difficult thing to teach. Certain technical skills, that's in some ways much clearer. And it's just a question of, like, are you willing to put in the very tedious hours to do all these drills and practicing to get them to work? And if you do, most people can actually get them to work over time. But that spark of an artist, I mean, that's something every musician or actor or, you know, anybody that's involved in a performance field is always looking for. What is that moment that just makes it special? And that's a very elusive thing. I always find it fascinating if I'm playing with, say, an amazing group like Philadelphia Orchestra or Baltimore Symphony, where we'll have the same concert three times in a row, say, in 1 week. And almost always there's one of those three that, for whatever reason, it just connects in a way that's really special. And hard to say exactly what that is, you know, but I know with my own teaching, I do a lot of storytelling, so I do give a lot of analogies. And what's really great about Techne is that we've gotten to the point where the technical skill of everyone who's coming is now just extremely high. So they really are able to technically transfer an emotion or a thought into their playing. And that's really wonderful, just, you know, to see people that can really do that so quickly. So yeah, a lot of it is just expanding their view of how they see a certain piece or a certain phrase, or, you know, how much time do you take before you actually start the piece, or how much time do you take at the end, or what is the feeling that you want the audience to be experiencing while you play this piece. So yeah, I mean, it's a really exciting part, and particularly when you're dealing with students. For the most part, I don't know. We, of course, have some people coming back from previous years, but it is always exciting to see this list of names and having heard their videos, but, you know, having not actually met many of them yet. So it's really exciting to be able to share this very special 5 days with these students.
And 5 days, that's an intensive workshop. So you send out materials so that they can hit the ground running, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So they all know the pieces they're doing. And sometimes the groups come as a preformed group. So, like, we actually have a clarinet trio. So that's violin, piano, clarinet. And they're all doctorate students at Stony Brook University. And they've been a group now for several years. So when it's a group like that, I usually say, do you have something you want to work on? And obviously they're going to be able to rehearse as a group before they even come to the festival. When it's three or four people that are meeting each other for the first time, a lot of times I'll give maybe three or four suggestions to the group and let them decide what they're doing. Because since these are now more master's and doctorate students, even sometimes students that are fully professional and just trying to make it in the chamber music field, a lot of them have done a lot of pieces already. So I do give them some leeway, but they have to make that decision at least 3 weeks before the festival. And then people playing first violin in the quartet, they are actually going to have a virtual lesson with our new faculty member, Peter Winograd, next week. So in fact, he was just texting me right before this interview. So they will have had a lesson with him, and he's first violinist of the American String Quartet, so of course knows this music just inside and out. So they will have had that before they even arrive the first day of the festival.
Now let's go back. You told us, I think, the last time we spoke, Larry, that you are from the Southwest. You are from New Mexico.
That is correct, yes, good memory.
But you spoke about a mentor. I think that's the word you used. And I wonder, what's different now in terms of mentoring students, the way you all are doing it here and decades ago? I'm not saying you're old, really, but the festival is, what, 13 years old?
It is, yeah.
Times change, everybody grows and so forth, the music world changes. Are there things that are different now in terms of pedagogy?
There are in some ways. And I think some of that has to do with sort of the modes of communication and the availability of technology to actually be a tremendous tool. So, you know, students working on things where they're recording themselves frequently, and those recordings can be shared instantaneously and analyzed in certain ways. And so these are all the types of tools that I think have made some of the mentorship, but it's made it different. I think in some ways it's made it more powerful. But when I think about it, the spirit of it and a lot of the nuts and bolts of the mentorship is really not all that different. There are still good and less good ways to make our instruments work. that haven't really changed over generations. We might have new ways of talking about them or illustrating them. But a lot of the nuts and bolts are the same. And sort of this intensive nature, when I think about back on my mentor, who was a violinist and orchestra conductor, and she would have, when I was a kid, she would have those of us who were like-minded and interested in doing this, she would have us over to her house to read chamber music and you know, sort of steep us in that tradition and how to listen to one another, how to read one another, how to cue entrances, things like that. It's really not that different than what I try to do with, when I'm working with chamber music students. It's a lot of the same skills and the same sort of commitment to the culture of making chamber music and making it at the highest level.
Let's pause a minute and introduce us to Peter now that he's not just a guest artist, but he's going to be on the faculty.
Yeah, we're so excited about this. Peter Winograd, just a dear friend. He is first violinist of the American String Quartet and also on the faculty of Manhattan School of Music. And ironically, took the place of Mitchell Stern, who was the husband of my cousin. So Mitchell Stern died very young, tragically, and Peter took his place quite a while ago, like decades ago. And Peter has been a guest artist at Techne many times. And we discussed, actually, 2 years ago, would he be interested in becoming a permanent faculty member? And he said, absolutely. He was already booked for 2025 when we asked him in 2024. But he said, starting in 2026, I will hold that second week of June until I retire. So we're just incredibly excited. He is just such an amazing player, an amazing person, and comes from generations of chamber music. His father was the original cellist in the Juilliard Quartet. So his stories of premieres of Bartok quartets that his father did are just really incredibly entertaining, but also give you a point of view that you just are not going to read in any kind of book. So we're just absolutely thrilled that he's able to join us, hopefully for the foreseeable future with Techne.
And it does say a lot, because he could do anything, but it shows the respect he holds, having had an experience with Techne, that he would want to be part of this enterprise.
We're very honored. I mean, I must say, it really is a thrill just to have him just say yes so quickly. And you're absolutely right. In fact, literally just moments before this interview, he was texting me and said, I just got back from a tour of Spain. And, you know, now I'm going through all the Techne schedule. And, you know, and I'm just like, wow, this is someone that's just incredibly busy and in such demand. And, you know, that he would really want to be part of this is just an incredible honor for us.
Before we get back to the students, Tim, let me just ask you now, with Peter and Larry and you, who would be the fourth in the Debussy?
Oh, Sheila Brown is our viola faculty. Again, just an amazing violist, and actually was just appointed professor of viola at Cleveland Institute of Music. So she'll be starting there in the fall. And she's been with Techne for quite a while, like many, many years, and probably one of the most respected viola teachers and performers in the country. So also very excited to be working with her as well.
Obviously, this is so much a part of it that if you give not just us a chance to come to the concert and hear you all together playing as a quartet, but the students get to see maybe what you're all ultimately talking about when you give them tips about the artistry or guide them in certain ways or ask them to open up and think in a way. It might, and you would hope it would, and it probably will, aha, when they experience your performance of the Debussy.
This is very true. And, you know, what I think is interesting is we have the same amount of time to put together an entire quartet that they have to put together one movement or possibly a couple of movements if they're a free-formed groove. And we do open the faculty rehearsals up to the students. So the students are welcome to come in and watch. And I think what is really interesting is not just how do we play, but how do we interact? We clearly all get along very well, or we wouldn't keep doing this for over a decade, you know? So, I mean, we get along very, very well. And a lot of the lectures that we have throughout the week are not just on how to play well, but also how do you get along within a group and how do you present yourself to other people? And I think that's something that sometimes the conservatories don't teach as much as they really could. And I think just being able to see that, you know, we've played with Peter many times. And of course, I've been playing with Sheila and Larry for well over 10 years. And there's just never once has there been any sign of disrespect or anything like that. And that to me is also something you really learn, you know, and you really see. And you can just see how that can result in just such a successful performance. So I'm really excited about this performance and about, of course, working with the students.
What have you got on the program this year?
It's a great program. So the student groups, we've got a remarkable trio that's a preformed group that's joining us from Stony Brook University in New York, and it's violin, clarinet, and piano. They're all graduate students there at Stony Brook, and they'll be playing the Stravinsky L'Histoire du Soldat, which is a larger chamber music work for a number of instruments, but Stravinsky made a violin, clarinet, piano trio version of it, and so they'll be performing that. And then we have two student string quartets, one of which will be playing a movement from the Schubert Death and the Maiden Quartet, one of the great heavy hitters of the string quartet literature, and then another group playing multiple movements of the Prokofiev Second String Quartet, which is a lesser played work, but the two Prokofiev quartets are really remarkable, and we've got a fantastic young group lined up to play that repertoire. And then the second half of the concert will be the old guys, those of us on the faculty, including Peter, now is a member of our faculty, and we're playing the Debussy String Quartet, which is one of the great works in the literature, and I haven't played it in almost 20 years now, so I'm excited to, you know, sink my teeth into it again with these wonderful colleagues.
Why did you select the work for the faculty to perform the Debussy?
Peter actually recommended it, and I have to say, Debussy is quite difficult. It's a hard piece, so when he said, how about Debussy, and I texted Larry, our cello faculty, and I said, wow, Peter wants to do Debussy, and he said, well, he must trust us, and so it was basically Peter's suggestion, and we ran with it. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, if you want to do Debussy, we're all on board, but I guarantee you that we're all individually practicing, because we know Peter has done this piece probably literally 500 times, and the rest of us, of course, have done it, but maybe not quite that many times. So we are all definitely making sure that we are as prepared as we are telling the students they need to be for when they arrive.
Now let's go to what the students are going to be offering and wrestling with this week.
Yes, so of course, a lot of it is chamber music coaching. So with Peter and myself and with Sheila Brown and Larry Stomberg, like I said, we do also have a clarinet trio coming in. So we have Charles Abramovic, who is head of the piano division at Temple University, an amazing pianist. He'll be coming for one day, working with just that group. And then Rie Suzuki, amazing clarinetist who teaches down in Florida, from the Philadelphia area originally. And she'll be coming in also just for one day to work with them. So that, of course, is a lot of it. But in addition to that, we are offering three lectures on basically things musicians need to know that don't involve their instruments with them. A few of them I'm giving, and one of them, because these are older students, and a lot of them are looking at perhaps academia as a career. So since we have three full-time college professors there, and of course Peter's also on the faculty in Manhattan, so we're giving actually one lecture on just like, how do you apply for a college teaching job? And this is something that, because of the age that they are, a lot of them are doctorate students, they are actually doing this, and it is extremely competitive. Most full-time jobs are going to have around 160 applicants that have to get whittled down to 12 that go to the next round. So that will be one lecture. Another one that I'm giving is called Four Signs Your Quartet is Getting a Divorce. And it's basically, how do you interact within your group in a way that can sometimes involve friends, but friends that are doing essentially business. And I think that's something musicians often forget. And we're extremely excited to have a special guest, Ryan Ghosh, who's an associate consultant at Bain & Company in New York City. So Ryan came to one of the Technic concerts a few years ago and was just really impressed with the students. So 2 years ago, Technic started offering full concerts in October to one or two of the student groups. So to do that, it wasn't just based on how they played, but they actually had to make a budget and a presentation of like, how are they going to get an entire program together, especially if their ensemble came from four different parts of the country. You know, how are they going to make all that work? And we do pay them for these concerts, but it's not an enormous amount. So they had to basically make a sales pitch of how they were going to do that. And Ryan listened in via Zoom last year. He wasn't really involved in training them. And after doing that, he said, you know, if you like, I'd be happy to give a presentation on basically how do you do that from more of like a business marketing perspective, because that's what he does with his job with enormous companies. So we're really excited about that. He's going to be coming in the very first day and giving them basically coaching on how do you sell yourself as performers. And then they will have two more days to work on that as a group. And then they will actually make a presentation to the faculty. And Ryan Ghosh will also be there virtually listening to that as well. So that will be part of our decision on how we choose the group. And we've named this prize after Donald Spieth, one of the Technique Board members and just a beloved conductor in the Lehigh Valley who passed away in 2023. So we call this the Donald Spieth Memorial Award. And this will be now the third year that we're giving this award.
One more question then, Larry, about the notion of the artistry and taking wonderfully trained technical performers, young musicians, and helping them go deeper or broader or begin to connect with their inner sense of musicianship. It doesn't sound like you can write a textbook so well about it. I mean, you can talk about bow strokes and not injuring yourself by playing this way and that, but each one is a unique musician. You have to listen for that, what they are capable of, and challenge them to grow that way. But also, I know it's a cliche, but to find their voice, but within the context of an ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really fun challenge, I have to say. And at a place like Technae, it's a particularly fun challenge because we have 5 days to try to get there. And in a traditional sort of school or conservatory setting, maybe you're working with a group over an entire school semester, which is, say, 13, 14 weeks, something like that. So this is a really condensed version of it. And I think in a way that gets all of us, the students and the faculty, thinking in different ways, almost with an urgency of how can we collect ourselves and gather together, find sort of a unanimity of purpose to get this music to come across. And that's one of the things that I just have always loved about summer music festivals, both as a now in my teaching life as a faculty member and back in the day when I was a student, when I was there as a participant, was just being, even with the different personalities and the different sort of backgrounds of everybody, they're all there for a sort of a singular purpose, and that's to make this music come to life. And so, yeah, I've always been amazed at Technae how quickly, even with all these varied backgrounds, just how quickly the groups coalesce. And they sort of put aside their individual egos, which we all have, I mean, as humans, but certainly as musicians, we all have egos. And it does require a putting aside of those to some extent to finding sort of the group voice. And so we let our egos come through when it's necessary and helpful, and then we let them take a back seat when the group needs that to happen. And Technae has always been, especially as every year we seem to get, the students just get more and more skilled and wonderful and insightful. And so I'm always just really impressed how well they do that on such a short timeline.
Because it's so important and because it's at the core of what you all do, let's just review this one more time about the notion of the artistry and what they do fundamentally, seriously, and they'll be learning to collaborate, and it will have human, right? It's life lessons as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're a music festival, but so much of what we do lives in being human and being expressive and being communicative, and those sorts of skills have uses in every aspect of our lives.
Well, it's so exciting to hear what these bright young students are offered, and it sounds like they are all ready to take advantage of anything that you're able to present to them, offer to them, and go beyond and really make the most of the 5 days and the group that gets to come back in October for the Spieth Memorial Award. They're just over the moon, or whatever the phrase is, right?
Exactly. And we announced that. So basically, for the final concert, all the students perform, and then we have intermission, and then we announce the winner at the beginning of the second half, and then the faculty plays their piece. So it's an exciting evening, and if you're in the Lehigh Valley, we would love it if you could come. It's free, open to the public. You don't need any ticket. So definitely encouraging anybody in the area to please attend.
acclaimed violinist and head of strings at Rowan University, Timothy Schwartz, founder and artistic director of the Techne Music Festival. And he was joined at another part of the globe by cellist Lawrence Stomberg, who has been with Techne from the very start. He is professor of cello and associate director for performance studies at the University of Delaware School of Music. And we remind you that this culminating concert will be held Thursday, June 11th at 7 p.m. at Pater Hall at Moravian University, 342 Main Street in Bethlehem, free and open to the public, no tickets required. And for more information on the web, technemusic.org, T-E-C-H-N-E, technemusic.org. The concert is free Thursday, June 11th at 7, Pater Hall at Moravian University, 342 Main Street in Bethlehem.